Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You are now listening to Waiting on Reparations, a production of iHeartRadio.
Yeah, you're listening to Waiting on Reparations indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even going to mess around or make you wait too long because we don't want to wait. Today's episode is kind of special for us. You know, like, it's only so often we're always trying to book interesting guests on this show. And every now and then we get the opportunity to book somebody who we're both very enamored with. And even though you read the description and you've seen who it is, I'm going to let Mariah handle the introduction because she has it all written out and it's perfect. So we're just going to get into it. So without further ado.
Oh, geez. How do I really have the honor of introducing our guest today? Well, our guest today is Samus, a.k.a. Dr. Anongo Lumumba-Kasongo, an Afrofuturist rap artist and producer from Ithaca, New York. She holds a PhD in science and technology studies from Cornell, is currently a professor in the music department at Brown University. There is a lot more that could be said about how fly you are, Dr. Samus, but let's let that unfold in the conversation. So first off, I love to ask people, this is my favorite thing to ask people these days. Everybody asks, oh, how are you? And you're like, well, good. But what has been the highlight of your day so far today?
Oh, the highlight of my day. I made some amazing eggs for breakfast.
Yes! Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Oh, yeah. What's your secret? What's your secret to amazing eggs?
Well, I'm a terrible chef, so I recently have been putting butter into my eggs, and it's making them just have this more savory kind of texture, like good mouthfeel. So, I felt really excited because I'm just such a terrible chef. So when I'm able to make something that is somewhat tasty, it's like mission accomplished.
It boosts your self-esteem so much. Like, yeah, I did that.
I did that.
My body.
Isn't cooking for yourself like a form of self-care?
It sure is. But it's hard, too. Like,
it is.
You know, real for real people who understand the practice, it's like there's so much commitment. You got to just prep, like, just figuring out all the formulas. It's chemistry. It's a lot.
The right, like, spices and, like, implements, utensils.
Yeah, right, the tools.
All the right tools. Like, I don't even have, like, a meat mincer. Like, what are you telling me?
Too much.
But eggs. So make some good eggs, man. That will start your day right.
Yes.
Well, let's get on to finding out a little bit about what you've been up to. Because last time I saw you, I'm pretty sure, was in D.C. at Songbird Cafe. And to this day, and to this day, your encouragement, like, we talked in the crowd, and you were really encouraging to me about my PhD and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, to this day, I remember that. But that was 2019, and a lot has happened since then. So what has transpired in your last 2.5 years as an academic and a cultural worker?
Yeah, so basically, in 2019, I was just wrapping up my dissertation. So let me actually rewind to the top of the year. So I was like looking at my dissertation kind of being finished and like what was next. And I was feeling like, okay, I'm gonna be a full-time working musician. I had zero plans to continue into the academy. I was like, peace, I'm done with that. And then a mentor of mine, Dr. Jennifer Stover, who's written this amazing book called The Sonic Color Line, she reached out to me and was like, hey, have you seen this postdoc at Brown for someone who teaches in like Afro-diasporic music making? And I feel like this might kind of be up your alley. So I was like, sure, I applied to it and then actually got it and was like, whoa, that was unexpected. But then it was also this kind of oh shit moment because I had to have my PhD by the start date, and the start date was in July and I did not yet have a PhD. So it was like, okay, I have to make this happen in the next like 4 to 5 months. So that semester was like the worst semester of my life. I was writing like I had a gun to my head. It was so stressful. And I worked with a dissertation writing coach who would just like, she would just push me like, you got to keep writing today. So it was really, really difficult, but I finished it in time and I was able to graduate and then ended up moving to Providence in 2019 to start the position. Nice. For the fall semester. So it was, I mean, it was a trip. Like, we can talk about this, but...
Ooh, yeah, that sounds... that just hit me very deeply, because I'm supposed to have my dissertation done in 3 weeks, and my mental health is just not great right now.
So, wait.
And not only that, it's, like, impacting how I'm treating other people. That's the thing that's, like, not cool. I'm like, I can suffer, it's fine, but, like, I'm, like, yelling at people.
It affects everything. When you're under that kind of timeline and stress and constraint, and when you're deep in the project like that, it's so difficult to just be in like a clear mental health space. So I completely understand that space, and I can't wait for you to be free of it.
So
shortly.
Was all that stuff that went down, was that pre or post pandemic?
That was pandemic. Yeah. And it's funny because I was on tour in the beginning of 2019, and I remember I was like in the back of the van, like trying, just desperately trying to write. And like, you know, everyone's having a kiki, living their best life. And I was bitter as hell because it was like, I don't get to partake in anything. I just have this thing, this demon looming over my head. So then I moved to Providence from Philly. I was in Philly for 4 years and then came up to Providence. And it's been a trip being here and getting situated. It's a different experience. And then halfway through my first year was when the pandemic unfolded. So then I moved back to Philly and was there for the remainder of the year and into the next year. And now I'm back in Providence after having like taught online basically for the past
Are things
2 years.
A bit more set and stable now in terms of like all that?
Yeah. Like, and during that 2 year period, I was just at Brown as a postdoc. So I thought, okay, I got to figure out my next steps. And then I was extended an offer to be an assistant professor. So it was like, okay, I have a little bit more, the timeline is different now because I was thinking during the pandemic, I'm also going to have to figure out what the next step is. So it was a little bit of stability after a few years of just not really knowing.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So how has, like, academia, if at all, I mean, you're already, you know, in, I guess, at Cornell for 8 years getting your PhD.
Yeah.
And so like, particularly with the pandemic, and now you're taking on a new professorial role, how has that influenced, like, your ability to make art? Has it informed it in any way?
Lord. Well, so the first thing is it informed it in the sense that I haven't really been able to make that much art. Because I was so, I realized this like into maybe March or April of 2020 when lockdown was sort of like, when we were in lockdown, but I was so burnt out. I was so completely fried and just had not really processed it and had kind of accepted that as like the normal pace of things that, like, yeah, you should be trying to do 5 million things and tour and write and be in conversation and do this, that, and the third. So when we had to slow down, I crashed hard. I was like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to use my brain to do anything at all. My brain is tired. She's tired.
Sounds
all
right, yeah.
Yeah, so really for the past two-ish years, I've been more focused on two projects. One of them is it's a video game project with some friends who started a studio called Glow Up Games, and we're working on this project, and they've wanted someone to come in who has kind of a rap background to engineer this like rap mechanic. So it's like was a very specific skill set that I was able to fulfill for this game project. So I've been working on some rhymes to kind of figure out this like rhyme mechanic in the game. And then the other project is working with a friend of mine. She's an incredible MC named Akua Naru. And she's developed this idea to create a digital archive that traces the contributions of women and girls in hip hop over the past 50 years. So like contributing in that way has been really like gratifying, but as far as making my own stuff, I haven't even had the I feel like the focus to just sit and write. And I think it's like a scary space for me right now, because I think revisiting the page is like, I think sitting with the you know, the trauma of the past few years.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like I've had these upcoming shows and I'm realizing, man, I haven't performed live in 2.5 years. Like, what is that gonna feel like? Like, am I, you know, have I lost it? Do I still have it? Like all these questions that sort of emerge around creation that I've been trying to avoid for the past 2 years that now I have to like get back into.
But
it's so interesting the way that pause impacted folks differently. Like it did slow things down for everyone, but some found a lot of creative energy in that slowdown. Other people, it was a moment for them to actually assess like where they were at and like, whoa, actually, nah, this is not cool. This is, you know, and the various ways that slowdown really allowed people to things to emerge that everyone had been ignoring or not really, you know.
I had two sides of that when the pandemic hit. Like the first half of lockdown was like, oh man, nothing matters. What is art? there's no purpose or point in any of this. And then the second half was like, oh wait, things are gonna be fine. Okay, where's my pen? Yeah, just started. Just started writing like all over the place.
Yeah, that's real. And I, like, it impacted me in waves. So I think when lockdown first started, I was just kind of perplexed, like, okay, well, what's going to happen with this universe? And had kind of these existential crises of, like you said, what is a rap? What is creativity? Who am I? You know, like all those questions. But then I remember, I don't even remember what happened, but there was one day where I suddenly felt this deep pain and I missed the performance space. And it was like very specific things. Like I missed writing my set list, like scribbling it down at the beginning of the set, or I missed like the sticky floors of dive bars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like all of these kind of textural things that maybe you don't immediately identify as like the most important part of being an artist, but they add, you know, they add joy to your experience. So I felt a really acute pain in that particular moment. And so I feel like it's ebbed and flowed. But now I feel much more purpose driven than I was at the top of the thing.
Good.
It was like,
Me and Mariah both recently started doing shows again and stuff too. So you will enjoy it. It's like a bike. You'll.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my first show I played though, I just forgot a lot of the lyrics. Wow, because you're so used to like muscle memory and you play so much and just not worry about it. I got up there and I was like, what is this song?
Yes, that's what
I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that to scare you, but like, it could happen. Yeah. You know,
I was way too hyped the first one that I did back. Like I ran, like my voice was shot after like the first verse of the first song. I was like, oh crap, I gotta go through 30 more minutes of this. This is not gonna work out.
Frantically sipping water.
It's the case on a physiological level. Like I just went to a jazz kind of show yesterday. And, you know, the music was incredible, but I was so focused on the performers because it was like, physically, like they are just at the top of their game to be able to do what they were doing for 30 minutes straight. And it was stressing me because I was like, dang, I haven't been really, like, will I be able to be in that kind of shape? Like my voice, my memory, like all that stuff, how's it gonna function when it's game time? But it's good to know that you all have gotten back on the stage. Like, thank God.
And it's a little creaky at first. It's a creaky bike that you're getting back on, you know?
I mean, it's
the rust a little bit in the gears, but it goes.
It's crazy. Yeah. One of the things that I like was coming to grips with during the pandemic and stuff was how much of being like an MC or an artist, whatever you want to call it, like how much of that was part of like my identity since I was 18, you know? So like things like you were just describing, like the stickiness of a dive, but like to me, that's like literally like, yeah, that's life. You know what I mean? It's something I identify with so much that I don't know, like to finally get back on stage and to finally be in those atmospheres again. I don't know. It feels like a wholeness is like returned that wasn't there for a while. So.
It's spiritual. It's definitely, I mean, what we do as performers, I have a new, if anything came out of this, like if I feel really strongly, positively about some part of this, is that I am recognizing the work that we do, like the role that we do, and not just making culture, but like shaping people's lives, experiences,
the
like
world
building.
And all
exactly.
That, yeah.
So well, shout out to
speaking of, sorry, I meant cut you off, what'd you say?
No, I was just saying shout out to us.
Shout out to us.
Oh, we're always shouting ourselves out on this show, so that's all good.
That's right.
Well, speaking of things that influence us and shape us, you know, we are a music podcast, but we're also a politics podcast, so I had to ask about Lumumba. So you are the grandniece of the Prime Minister of Congo, Patrice Lumumba, who advocated for self-determination for the Congolese people at a time as they were transitioning away from colonialism. Ultimately was assassinated for his revolutionary ideas, and he was killed long before you were born, but I wondered if his legacy has influenced you in any way and how that period in the Congo impacted your family history.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for that question. And it's funny because, well, maybe it's not funny, but my dad, I love my dad, but he's so I don't have a better way to put it. He's like shady. I love him, but he's like, he won't tell you what he's doing. Like, he'll call you like, I'm in South Africa. It's like, okay, well, what are you doing? And it's like, click, and then he'll be somewhere else. That type of stuff. So like, when I was a kid, he didn't really talk about this amazing figure who was part of our like shared history. I didn't have any understanding that I was connected to this person, but it was actually like my history and social studies teachers who would be like, Lumumba, like, is there a relationship there? Like, they would be like fangirling and fanboying, and I didn't really understand like what was happening. So finally that produced like conversations with my dad about like, who is this person, and like, why are people feeling this way about his legacy? And through there, I started to understand the just the radical importance of him as a figure, particularly I think in that era in the 60s, but then like globally as this figure of resistance, like going.
So for our listeners, do you mind just like giving like a brief little recap of who Lumumba was?
Yeah, so Patrice Lumumba was the first democratically elected prime minister of the Congo. And he was really pushing for a kind of anti-colonialist. They wanted to be able to govern for themselves. And Belgium was had committed atrocities of the scale of the Holocaust. And so he was kind of the figure who was able to push to that place. And then he was assassinated in 1961 by the CIA, essentially. For, you know, inciting this kind of new political space. So he really is a figure. And I realized that in going to the continent in various countries, that he remains a kind of like revolutionary figure for thinking about freedom fighting. And then in terms of the, like how that's shaped my work, I hadn't really completely thought about it until like I was much older. And a lot of discussions about like what kind of music you make came up. Specifically, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Mariah, where like being a woman in rap is a very interesting space. Because you will often be positioned against women who you don't even necessarily have, there's no beef, there's no drama there. So people will be like, oh, thank God you don't rap like Cardi. Or they'll position women who are coming from a particular like lyrical tradition or intellectual tradition against women who are coming from a space where they're maybe making party music or like strip club fantasy music, whatever that is. And so I really started to think about like, why do I make the music that I make? And I think part of it is that I want to be in conversation with Lumumba, these ideas around like what a free space would look like for, you know, Black people. And like, that's what I'm drawn to the music for. Of course, everybody has their reasons, but I think that's part of why I feel like I'm called to make that specific brand of music. Although I would love to make some party music at some point. I'm just bad at it.
You got a couple bangers in there that I like, you know, throw on and like dance it's around.
Whether something is like a party joint or not is strictly based on like who's taking it in. You can party. I've listened to some of your stuff and I felt like, man, this is some real feel good. You know what I mean? Like, have my head move. Okay. Like, yeah. Like, I wish I could make that. So.
Oh, I appreciate it. But yeah, I thank you for asking that question, because it doesn't always come up. But it is an important thread, I think, that I'm trying to gesture towards.
So now I'm wondering, did you grow up in the States? Okay.
Yeah. So I was born in upstate New York, Poughkeepsie. And then grew up in Ithaca. So like two shitty upstate New York towns. So I was like, why, parents, why are you doing this? Like, why? And, you know, especially because they hate the cold. Like, they hate the cold more than me. It's like, why would you do this?
Gotta secure the bag, I guess. True, and the intellectual bag also, not just like the bag, but like
Right. I mean, like, yeah, they're happy. They have their intellectual community, but it is cold. So I grew up there, and we went back to visit family, not on my dad's side, not in the Congo. The first time and the only time I've been to the Congo was in 2015 for as part of my dissertation research. But and that's where I saw the love for Patrice Lumumba, like in practice, like his picture is still emblazoned places. But we visited family in the Ivory Coast, which is where my mom is from, and hung out with them.
I used to live in Sierra Leone when I was like when I was a baby. As a matter of fact, I think that's gonna go into one of Mariah's questions coming up about Mae Jameson.
Yeah.
Do you know that about Mac?
No, she doesn't.
Mae Jameson is his godmother.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold up.
Yeah, she's like really good friends with my mom and my dad. And when I was a baby in Freetown, Sierra Leone, like she nursed me from when I was like really sick and like brought me to health. And yeah, she's.
How is this just now coming up in the conference? Why did you not leave?
I'm sorry. Well, I don't know.
I've just been wanting to hear you talk.
I knew you were going to be super excited about
We have like a lot in common the whole time you've been talking and stuff like that. But my mother's Liberian. My father's American. He worked for the State Department. So that's how they met. Mm-hmm. And like the first few years of my life, we were in Sierra Leone and then Liberia. Then the war started, so we came to the States. And my mom wanted us. After the war, she wanted to like go somewhere far from Africa. So we went to Toronto for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
She experienced 3 years of Toronto summer. We lived in Africa till I was 19.
Never going back.
Way to do it, right? What? Yo, I'm shaking in my boots right now. This is crazy. Like this woman, like since I was a kid, like I remember my mom was very intentional about introducing this woman to me to give me this real life superhero. I've gone to see her speak multiple times. Like, that's so cool. I wish we could be in person so I could like touch your hand or something.
That's bad, buddy.
I had to bring that up because I knew you would get a kick out of it.
Oh, thank you. You blessed me.
It's a chat full of just inspiring like legacies that we're carrying on that over.
It's funny doing this show for the last 2 years that's been like my, I guess, awakening as to how like revered a figure she is. For me, it's always been like, oh yeah, you know, it's just like family. Hey,
you don't even know.
It's not till like talking to Mariah, talking to other people, it's like, oh wait, I guess that is kind of a big deal.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like if you think about like Blue Ivy, she's just like my mom is Beyonce. You know what I mean? Like people who have these iconic figures who are in their lives, but they're just, you know, the role that they take is just like caregiver, you know, or not just, but it's caregiver or person I cuddle with versus my
wife. Let's transition back to talking about music a little bit. I'm very interested in your process of song creation because you're a producer. You started off making beats first, my understanding, and then you brought in rapping. So I'm wondering how beats and rhymes influence one another for you in that process of song creation.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's a great question. So I generally, like I've had to give some talks on songwriting, so I've been thinking a lot about this recently, but I don't really, and I don't know if other MCs do this, but I don't really start with words I have to have a beat that I'm writing towards or to. I think maybe one time in my life have I ever had words form and then tried to craft something to fit those words. Generally, I feel like it's such an embodied experience of listening that your flow emerges from like how you're moving to the production. So I usually will produce something not with a kind of like content in mind for what I want to say, and maybe something will come up in that moment. Maybe I just put it in, you know, put it away, set it aside. And then when something emerges for me as a topic, it's like, okay, let me go back and see what's there that can kind of like fit with this thing. So definitely the beat shapes the flow and generally what I'm talking about or speaking towards. Although I do want to trouble that a little bit, like with what we were talking about with party music, you know, like, is there a way, I want to be more experimental in the future with taking sounds that I associate with sort of like fun, carefree existence and mapping that onto, you know, my songs about insecurity or whatever other like mental health crisis I'm dealing with. You know, can I marry these two things together in a more experimental way?
You definitely can. And like, I think that's like the cheat code, you know? It's just like, there's something about the quality of like that sort of music, like, you know, from an instrumental standpoint, that's kind of just, it lures people in, that I think once you have them, you can be talking about whatever the fuck you want in between it. And you know what I'm saying? You're going to be able to, if your intention is to like persuade or to turn heads or to give insight or whatever, rapping on the stuff that you would think you shouldn't rap on to rap that sort of stuff too, I think that's like, that's the key moving forward. So I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I was just going to ask, like, who are some influences that you have, just like MC-wise or even producer-wise?
Yes. Okay, so MC-wise, I would say kind of in like my immediate frame of reference, I really like Open Mike Eagle a lot. Like, he to me is just like, he's so introspective. I feel like I understand the contours of his brain through his music.
A little grooves in it. A little pattern.
Exactly. Like, he's very, like when I teach, I'm always telling my students about like specificity, like be specific. And I think Mike Eagle's very specific. Like, his references give you a real snapshot into who he is as like a thinker and a person. So he's definitely somebody that I appreciate. I also really like Moore Mother. She's kind of like noise, rap, punk, goth. Like, her description on a Bandcamp is so amazing to me, because it's just like, hold on, I gotta pull this up, because it always
We play like new like clips of music for people on the show all the time to introduce them to new stuff. So.
Yeah, so she calls herself lo-fi, dark rap, chill step, black girl blues, witch rap, coffee shop, riot girl song, southern girl ditties, black ghost.
Say less. Where do I get my money? I want that.
Right, it's like, where do I throw the money? So, like, she she's really dope because she's just interweaving all of these kind of like sonic spaces in her work. And she is a producer as well. She works with free jazz artists. Like, she's just very, she doesn't care about boundaries. And I think that's really compelling to me as an MC. And obviously, Mariah, I'm a fan. I think that you're like so incredible and just brilliant. And such a great performer too, which is not always, like, being able to hear it and then also see it has
I'm
been
I'm ugly cry. It's okay. It's okay. I got, you know, a couple minutes after this is over, I can just go and with joy. Thank you so much for that. That means a lot because I do look up to you a great deal and love your music as well. And actually, you know, one thing I want to ask you about, because, like, people ask me about this all the time. And I read in an interview, I think it was with Loud and Quiet, that they describe you as exercising your demons through music. And I wondered if you would describe it that way. Because I feel like that's an interesting way people often characterize music that is about very vulnerable topics.
Yeah. Oof. That, exercising my demons. I think I appreciate you, like, maybe, like, pushing back against that framing. Because, I mean, it definitely has felt like a survival mechanism. Like, I have to express this or I'm going to explode or implode. Like, a kind of desperation around having to speak to that. But as far as exercising, like, I mean, the demons are still there, first of all. You know, like, that's just gonna be there. But I think it is about, like, maybe, like, chatting with the demons or, like, being in conversation or exposing them rather than, like, through the music, I don't feel this anymore. Like, that's not the case. I think for those of us who struggle within these, you know, whether it's a chemical imbalance or a particular situation or a lifelong of trauma that you're dealing with, like, the idea that there's sort of an end to it, you release it into the world and then it's no longer with you, is not necessarily how I would characterize the musical process for me. But it provides a lens. Like, when I make a music about the thing, I think I can see it for what it is, like, articulate what is going on and maybe understand it a little bit better. But I don't know if it's exercised. Like,
I appreciate the way you worded that. Talking to the demons and, like, you know, like, you're just having conversation and understanding them better. And I think the idea of, like, demonizing our troubles, even, like, it's not very rare to feel depression. It's not rare to feel these things. So, like, they're not necessarily, like, evil forces to be cast out. They're just human things that are demonized because we don't talk about them. And then you talk about them. So then they, for other people, also are de-demonized.
It's like making making the song is the act of talking about it. Like, you know what I mean? That's the... So you're going to be going out on the road soon, right? Because we were talking earlier about you got some shows coming up.
I do. you can hear the stress in my voice. So I'm going to be in May. I have some shows I have one show up here in New England and then four shows with a friend of mine, Mega Rand. I think you might.
We had Mega Rand on the show.
Of course. Yeah.
Big fans of Mega Rand.
For sure. He's great. He's just such a supportive, like, music friend. He always will put you on. He's always going to figure out a way to like, help out the homies. So he wanted to go on a longer tour, and I was like, I can only do 4 days. Like, your girl is rusty. Like, just let me do my week and come home and reassess. So I'll be on the West Coast for 4 days, and then I have one more show in New England, and then it's like, I chill, which feels like a nice first like entrance back into it. Like, if I had 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like I'd be broke down by the top of week two.
I don't think I ever want to do more than a week ever again. I didn't realize how bad that was for my mental health before until I stopped doing it. I was like, I've become more stable.
I think that's because like the natural state, like the older you get, if you're still in the game, you eventually get to a point where it's like, man, I think a good week long run's about the max for me. Cause I remember back in like 2013, 2014, yo, niggas was going on tour for like a month and shit. Like, you're coming back with all kinds of crazy bills. like just all completely out of whack. And yeah, like, it was...
All your goldfish died, like...
What? You gained like 60 pounds from eating fast food all the time. Yeah, man.
It's a rough, I mean, yeah, that part for sure. Like, I don't think I can really deal with all of the, my older body is just like, girl, no.
Not it. That's why I was super impressed at the Super Bowl. Like, all these old ass niggas, like Snoop and like Dr. Dre, like up there, like, hey. Wow, hold it down. Like, that's really, I mean, it's like, 30 minutes or whatever, but I was still, I was like, man, out of breath.
Yeah. I saw some behind the scenes thing, and I forgot, it was either Redman or Method Man, or it was like Dipset, but it was like them like recently, and they're on the tour bus after a show, and they're like, yo, there's so much Ben Gay on this bus right now. We're all in such pain.
That's where the stuff
coming in, like, what's that smell?
Hey, Samus, how far away is how far? Nah, I was looking at my tour dates, seeing if I was gonna be anywhere near Rhode Island. I'm gonna be like in New Hampshire.
Yeah. So what are these dates? So listeners can go find tickets and come see you and experience greatness in person.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't even know. I'm going on tour at some point. Let me actually pull that up. So the tour starts on May 13th at the Waking Windows Festival in Vermont, and then the May 14th through 18th is the West Coast, Seattle down to San Diego, and then May 19th I'll be in New Hampshire and then back home to sleep.
So for people who haven't like heard your music before, right? So you're about to get back on the road after a hiatus of not being on the road. So you're probably going to have a lot of fans and a lot of people who have been following you that are now going to get the chance to see you again. So what are two of the songs, two of the joints where you feel, oh man, I got to do these if people are going to be coming there to see me. And they've been listening to my music over the years.
So, I mean, I perform a song called 1080p at every show.
Wish I knew how to be comfortable here. I never feel like I'm allowed to breathe. Rubbing shoulders with these old nerds, rocking sweater.
Just because I think it's important, like you were saying, Mariah, just that this, to create a space where people can see someone in conversation with the difficult parts of their experience. So I do that song, and then there's another song, it's not released yet, and I want to, like, you know, at some point I need to record this thing, but it's a song called Two Hands, and it's almost, I've framed it as a response to 1080p in the sense that you know, like, I started to have this kind of weird thing happen at shows where people would be like, do 1080p or like do your depression song, and it's like, hold on. Wait a minute, like, this doesn't feel good being asked to just like perform the pain, like come through and perform your pain for us, like that felt weird. So yeah. I wanted to, you know, like there's this weird exploitative element that can come up when you're being vulnerable. So I wrote Two Hands, which is a song about just like the things that I find joy in. Even being a broken person, it's like there's still things that, just the fact that we can create is actually fucking incredible. Like, that's wild that we can make stuff from our brains and then people will sit with it. Like, what the hell? So that's what the song is about. And I like to perform it after 1080p to be like, here's
the other.
So
right now people can only hear that at a show.
Yeah, but it will be recorded at some point soon, and all the rest of the songs on this next project, it'll be on there.
Well, get out there, go see some of these shows if you're nearby. Also, I just want to say real quick, when you said Two Hands, I thought of that line from Mighty Morphin where you're like, I saw my clap of like I got a pair of other hands. I was like, oh, she just went all the way in on it, like really getting the details on the other hand. Which maybe that's the content of the song. I don't know. I guess I gotta come see one of your shows to hear about it.
for sure.
So where
Dr.
can
Samus, thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
Oh wait, sorry.
Where can people find?
You got another question?
No, I'm closing off. So I was just gonna say where can people find you if they're looking for you online.
So I have been really trash about posting. Like, you can see my Instagram post from like May
2020. Good. Internet.
My Instagram. It's Samus Music. Everything is Samus Music, SAMMUS Music. And I'm trying to, you know, this is another part of the anxiety of being an artist, that you have to be very online, you know. And so, like, you know, dealing with that, like, oh, I have to promote the shows on the tour. I need to probably tell people that there is a tour coming. So I'll be a little bit more online over the next month or so. And then you can just go to samusmusic.com for my music stuff. And then inango-lk.com to go see my like other stuff that I'm working, things that I'm writing about, like that kind of stuff.
Dope.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Good luck out there. You know, treat yourself while you're on the road and in general, everyone.
Yeah,
needs
for sure. And if y'all are ever like, Providence is between Boston and New York. So if you're planning an East Coast tour, like, just plan a stop in Providence and let's like figure out a show for y'all.
Ah, you thought that we were about to do a music discussion, didn't you? It's a music discussion beat. Nah, I promise we'll get into the music. We'll do a music discussion on like the next episode or something like that. We haven't done one of those in a long time. But that was Samus, yo. That was like, it's been so long just like knowing about her and being in the same places that she's been in, that to have like a conversation with her for the first time, that was dope. I will be on the road next week. You can go on my Instagram page, dope_knife, and check out those dates. But if memory does serve, I do believe I'm going to be in Nashua, New Hampshire on April 20th. That's going to be in Nashua Garden. And yeah, just check for the rest of those dates. I think Troy, New York is going to be the next day, and so on and so forth. You can find all that stuff. On Friday, tomorrow, for y'all, I'm going to be dropping a new song with my homie Miles Bullen. And it's called It's Not Always Sunshine. And instead of the freestyle raps, that's what we're going to play for you guys today. So I'm going to let that take you home. And let's hit it.
Knocking, eavesdropping out of school. Do drugs, call it cool. I stay though, hanging by a thread. And when my friends OD'd, I saw their life was fucking cool. And I'm surprised that I'm not dead. Dirty, feeling only an addict knows. When you can't itch away those issues, substances get misused. And you no longer taste food, smell flowers, or hear birds. Emotions on mute, yeah, you see mouths, but can't hear words. And you need outs, but need the key first. Bravery, a balancing act, full of love and full of dangerous. Waitress waiting on unstable tables reminds me of relationships, cause they're barely holding up. You're the best service and the rent was always paid in tips. You bounce from place to place like a sailor of the land, docking up at ports, trusting strangers, changing plans. It takes bravery to start again and again and again and again. You have mastered new beginnings. It takes bravery to start again. You have mastered new beginnings.
It's not all sunshine. Sometimes it be dread. Sometimes a child soldier leave your grandma dead. You want some answers, go and get your damn palms red. Negativity be bursting out my black bald head. It's cancerous, who's gonna be the last of us? I meet God, I ask him this, even if it's blasphemous. We be so dismayed, so afraid, swallow tablets. Wish my dead homies come back like they was Lazarus. Jump into a pit and hope it's bottomless. I'm free falling, hope I'm them faster than my problems, but they keep calling. Looking at the nicest folk caught up in the ice and dope, but I'm fortunate my only dragon is I like to smoke. I wish I could take the pain away. I know you are the same as me. We'll pack it up and save it for a rainy day. I don't believe in hell, but still ignore the words of Satan say. They be leaving shells, they just load it up and aim and spray. Death is the high cost of living when you think about it. I'm cheap, probably a coward, and I think I'm outed. Nothing but clouds around my crown, and they leave me surrounded. Scared of new beginnings, but it's bravery when you speak about it.
It takes bravery to start again, 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 again. You have mastered new beginnings. You have mastered new beginnings. It takes bravery to start again, 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 again. You have mastered new beginnings.
Hey, this is Dope Knife from Lingua Franca, and you were listening to Waiting on Reparations. See you next week.
Listen to Waiting on Reparations on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.